This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Dennis is Dennis Halnon. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are still hiring a Tab, looking for good people to join us as employee owners. So if you know any geeks out there that want to join a company that is employee owned, check out our career page over at tabinc.com. So let's get back to your calls here. You've been nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Amelia in Burlington. What's going on, Amelia?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So,
our pleasure.
So about, like, I would say 3 months ago, I purchased a Yoga Lenovo Series 6 computer for college.
All right.
And it came with a charger. But just a couple days ago, all of a sudden the charger wouldn't work, like the little tip at the end was bent.
All of a sudden it got bent, huh?
Yes, all of a sudden. And so, I called Best Buy and purchased one over the phone, and that one wouldn't fit. So then they had another one that would fit, but the wattage is very high compared to the one I got. So the original one was 45 watts. And then the one that I just got is 108 watts, but it's also a supercharger. And nice. And the guy said that it wouldn't impact the computer long term, but I wanted to see what you guys had to say.
Technically, he's correct. It shouldn't affect the computer because both the charger and the computer have chips in them that are managing the power. And, you know, the computer will report to the charger what it's capable of. The charger will select a power level that it can send to that computer, and it should work.
Right. So she has what's a very good charger that can do all sorts of great things, but it's right. going to throttle down to it what will, the laptop can handle.
The charger will step down and just provide the laptop with what it wants.
Okay.
I haven't heard that that's been a problem for anybody, but those superchargers are kind of a new thing. I think they've only been out for a year and a half or so, at least from Lenovo. I can't say with 100% certainty that you're not going to develop any issues from it, but they definitely have logic in both sides to manage that power connection.
Okay.
And it should be fine. Yep.
Also, my computer, even like right when I got it, it only seems to charge up to 60%, and I've never seen it go over that.
Over 60%?
So, while you're still plugged in?
Yep.
Yeah, that's there's a good reason for that. It's trying to save power. It's trying to save the world.
Oh,
by
right,
not drawing
right
too much electricity.
During a certain time
yeah
of the day.
Now, there are power management tools that you can get that will fix that. We can look up how to do that for you.
Or it could just be a simple setting.
Well, yeah, it's in the computer, I think. You can tell it to...
Yeah, you're saving the planet, Amelia, by not being able to use your computer.
Yeah. Yes, even though the one who costs a lot of money.
Right.
So...
Yeah, so that makes sense. We have had articles about that of other computers, especially Apple was doing that too with their power charging. They actually won't. They don't want to charge it as hard during the "quote unquote" peak hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
You already find it, Dennis?
Yeah, there is a article on Lenovo's support site about exactly this scenario.
Yeah,
we can post that for you. Okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, not a problem.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right, Amelia. Well, good luck with it. And thanks for checking in with us and being skeptical as far as somebody telling you that 110 watts is going to work the same as 45.
Oh, yeah. You're looking out for your computer. You get props for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. All right. So Amelia's on her way, and she'll be able to use her – it's actually, think of it as a governor on a go-kart, you know?
That's true.
We can't let you charge that laptop too much. Now, wait till that happens with your electric car. Oh, wait a minute. It does actually happen because in California, they'll actually not let you charge your car during certain times of the day. So it is already happening with these scenarios. Speaking of Apple, as we wait for your calls, 860-522-9842 is the number. Apple execs are defending – So wait a minute. Before I bring this up, you know our standard specs that we're talking about for most typical systems is going to be an i5 of a current generation, 13th gen i5 processor, 16 gigs of RAM, and half a terabyte of solid-state hard drive would be a good computer for most people.
Right.
Now, Apple's MacBook Pro came out, and it's, of course, a little thinner, a little lighter, a little faster, a little smaller, a little brighter. But same as expensive as it always has been, a $1,600 computer, but they only think you need 8 gigs of RAM.
What?
Yeah. 8 gigs is enough RAM for you, sir. Now, we've talked about Apple and its planned obsolescence, and it's kind of an interesting battle back and forth. The Apple execs still believe it's enough for customers because, of course, they've always felt that for you guys. You'll be well, Apple devotees no matter what.
And also, their feelings are never wrong, right?
Never.
Never.
You're never holding it wrong. So you got the 8 gigs of RAM, and of course, they're talking about, I mean, most people are talking about the fact that, you know, it's a Linux-based operating system, so you don't need a lot of RAM to run the operating system.
Right.
But that's not what you buy a laptop for.
Right. You buy it for applications.
Right. Thanks, Apple. I'm great to run your operating system, but I want to do something with my tool, as it were. And so we would tell you got to go out and buy some more RAM for your very expensive pro, quote unquote, pro MacBook. So I don't know why Apple devotees keep taking it like this. I mean, it's constant that they do this to you.
Well,
and you pay a premium for it.
Here's the thing. If you go onto Apple's website and you buy a Mac directly from them, no matter what the Mac is that you buy during the customization process, one of the things they ask you about are software packages you want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is like Logic Pro, which allows you to do video editing and compiling.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to work too well on an 8 gig RAM computer.
No. Not very pro there.
So they're happy to sell that to you.
Right. As a default.
Right.
Just thought we'd bring it up.
Okay.
This is where we are. This is where we are. So we'll put that up there for you guys to read. In other news, this is kind of funny. I like this one. This is the Register really gave us a ton of news this morning. Our favorite blog from across the pond there. A Phoenix crypto exchange.
Phoenix? Well,
Phoenix, Arizona, I guess.
Hmm?
Sorry, founder of the... No, not Phoenix. It looks like Phoenix. The Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's not Phoenix. Phoenix crypto exchange offers 5% cut to the thieves if they return that $120 million in fake money they stole. So bad guys went out there and drained an estimated $120 million of user funds. Oh, I'm so sorry, users, from your cryptocurrency exchange. And if you give it back to them, you can get a 5% bounty of $6.5 million worth of fake money.
Oh.
And, you know, the Phoenix folks are saying, put it back in our wallets and we'll give you 7 days to consider the offer before we engage law enforcement. Great.
Oh, yeah, that's really going to work.
Yeah. So
you're already begging the bad guys to give the money back and you think law enforcement is going to be able to track them down?
Right. And you think the bad guys care. So we'll see what happens there. The information, this story is really just ridiculous. You know, we're not going to call the cops unless you give us back. We'll give you $6 million of our customers' funds. This should give you a nice warm fuzzy feeling. I mean, FTX, Bankman-Fried there just got convicted of crypto fraud. These guys are happy to pay the bad guys a 5% commission on their thievery. this is the industry you're putting your money into. So they broke down some of the losses by individual blockchain. So Ethereum, $56 million was poached.
Ooh.
Tron, $48 million.
Okay.
Bitcoin, $18 million.
Ooh.
And they didn't do anything with their computer talk with Tabcoin. I don't know why. You got to come up with a coin, because clearly everybody wants this fake money. So we'll put the link up here for you guys to take a look at it. If you are using the Phoenix exchange, you might be a little light in your wallet.
Oh.
What else you got, Dennis, as we wait?
Well, I've got another crypto disaster.
Oh, yeah.
This one deals with a crypto called Monero.
Monero, okay.
Now, Monero, it's something you probably never heard of.
Nope.
But it is supposed to be a blockchain which has additional anonymity and privacy algorithms built into it.
Gotcha. So
it's an algorithm called CryptoNotes, which somebody came up with.
Hmm.
And after that was released, you know, they cooked up this Monero cryptocurrency that uses it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be more secure, more private, more anonymous than even Bitcoin or Ethereum or some of the other more normal blockchain coins.
Normal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody's been stealing from one of the wallets in the Monero project.
Oh, boy. How many millions are out there?
Well, no, this is just a six-figure sum.
All right.
But it's been thefts that have been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
And the losses are starting to build up. So the Monero project is finally, the people in charge of it are finally admitting that one of its wallets is, you know, losing.
Hmm.
And they have no idea where it's going.
Of course not.
Because it's a private and an anonymous service on top of being cryptocurrency.
Fools on their money. Fools on their real money. So we'll put
and
these
fake money.
Yeah, we'll put these links up here for you guys and you can read in them and weep yourself. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We will be right back. We are back. Just a little more lettuce for you. Yes, the band is called Lettuce. Pretty cool band. Packed house last night. But my wife and I had to get out of there before we literally just got high from secondhand smoke. so we got out of there. But it was a great concert while we lasted. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Four lines open for you. I'm going to give you a technology story for you that you probably can all relate to. This is my personal life. So, you know, I have my maintenance prescriptions for, you know, my statin that my doctor says I still need, even though my calcium score was practically zero, but she insists I should still take my statin. So I do, dutifully. And so I take my statin, and then the big three-letter pharmacy decides that they can't find the one I always take, and they're going to get me a different one. Okay, fine, I'll try it, whatever. What do I know? and they sent me a new prescription. Now, this new prescription is only a 30-day prescription versus the 90-day that I was getting before.
Oh.
So after I take it, I realize, I'm not feeling really good after this thing. And so my doctor changes it back. So what do they do? They change it back to the one I was getting before, mm-hmm. and it's a 30-day prescription, which is a big pain in the hiney to have a 30-day prescription.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't ask for any of this. They did.
Right.
So I'm then, a month or so goes by, I'm getting my 30-day prescription. Then this big 3-letter pharmacy sends me a letter. Hey, ooh. Eric, if you don't change this to a 90-day prescription and talk to your pharmacy, talk to your doctor, we're going to start charging you for this. Because it's actually a free thing because they don't want me to, keel over, I guess. and so basically they send me a formal letter. So they go to the pharmacy and talk. What do? I hop in the car and we're running around town. I bring my letter to the pharmacy and they're like, no, you got to have your doctor call this. I'm like, this is your letter. It says, talk to you guys. No, you got to have your doctor do this. So I can't make this up. This is all technology for you. And so then I go back. Because I was going to get into my last, what I thought was 30-day prescription. I walk up to the poor pharmacist there or the assistant. I'm like, hey, I got to fix this. This thing is going to be still a 30-day prescription. You guys are going to start charging me. And then I look at it. I look down at the bottle, and it's 90 days. So they did it all on their own. They changed my prescription all on their own. They changed the quantities all on their own. They changed it back all on their own. They sent me letters. And this is a I'm like, what kind of system is this? This is where we are in 2023. That's where we are.
Well, what's really interesting about this is this particular company,
yes,
which we're not going to name,
no.
Exists both on the payment side of the equation, which mm-hmm. is the retailer,
yeah,
and the payor side, mm-hmm. which is the managed care company.
Mm-hmm.
They are on both sides of this equation.
Right. And I'm just a victim of their
How are they not managing this right?
I don't know. I'm just a victim to them.
And they're a multi-billion dollar operation something?
I couldn't even go go on my app and fix it. I brought my silly letter to the flipping place. Now I got to have you bother your doctor. I'm like, you guys did all this. I didn't do any of this.
Just that it all came down to a physical letter is ridiculous right there.
And they changed it themselves without even me telling them to do it, even though that's what makes sense. So it's like, wow, what a process. So I don't know. I digress. Let's go to your calls. Jack in Glastonbury's got a question. What's happening, Jack?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for your show. I've got a question. Normally what I do is when I'm using iTunes, if I'm loading stuff from a CD, then it's just pretty much automatic. But if it's stuff that I've got that's like MP3 files, then what I do is I have like a folder with the tracks in it, each track in mm-hmm. there. And then if it needs artwork, I'll put artwork in that folder, okay? Mm-hmm. And then, using iTunes, I can get it uploaded on my PC and get it all set up. So that's pretty straightforward. But mm-hmm. my question is this. I'm puzzled by something. I'm looking at an MP3 folder that I created, okay? And I don't have the artwork in there.
Yep.
But yet when I go to... I know I loaded it into iTunes, so I know it got in there somehow. But when I use the media player, the Microsoft Media Player, it shows the artwork photo in there, and yet I can't figure out how it found it. It's like it's somehow it knows where this stuff is. When I go to the attributes, when I go to the properties of each of the MP3. Files and look for a pointer to it, the artwork, it's not there, And I'm it seems like there's something in that, there's some pointers or stuff that are not available or hidden or something so that you don't know where they're occurring,
Well, I haven't worked too much with Microsoft's own media player, but I'm thinking there's two possibilities. Number one, it is actually reading those additional graphic files in the same directory with the MP3, and it's creating the association and showing it to you. The other thing that it could be doing is it might be getting the artwork from its own cloud because it does its own analysis of your MP3. It knows which song it is, and then it's getting their own version of the cover art and maybe it just happens to be the same as what you're using.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, I know it can't be that second alternative because this is a specific photo that I created.
Oh, okay.
And so there's no way that it, unless it's...
It may just be assuming that an MP3 and a graphic file in the same directory are linked, and it's just showing that graphic as associated with that MP3.
Mm. Yeah, it could be.
Well, yes, but that I can understand that. But I'm looking at a folder now, a subfolder that has five pieces of music, five MP3s in it, and it doesn't have the artwork in there.
But they come up.
Okay. But the artwork comes up in the media player.
Yeah, it might be a cached understanding of last time it played.
It might also be getting it from Windows Explorer if it's like a cached thumbnail, too.
Yeah, so it's got a connection somewhere. Hope that helps, Jack. We'll be right back. And we are back, and we were talking with Jack, who's trying to figure out how his custom artwork is ending up in his MP3s without being located in the same directory as the MP3s. Right, Jack?
Yeah, I think I have the answer, too.
No, oh.
I think I discovered the answer. Apparently, the media player, because when you're using iTunes, you're always using the default defined music directory or music library, you know
yep.
what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Because if you're using iTunes, as far as I know, there's no way you can get things into iTunes on your PC unless it comes from that directory. So, and I guess Media Player is also eyeballing that directory library as well.
I know what it is then. I know what it is.
Yeah, and so it's seeing, in other words, when I'm opening a media player, I'm seeing everything in there that I see in iTunes.
Yeah, okay. What's happening, I'm very sure, is once you've imported an MP3 into the iTunes library, it either has the artwork embedded in the file that it gets, or it has a link to the artwork file on the computer in your iTunes library. But either way, when Windows Media Player reads that, it reads that intelligently and it loads the artwork. The one thing that I was going to suggest is if you have any of that artwork that isn't marrying up right, and it doesn't sound like this is the case right now, but if you find any that don't link up correctly, you'd want to get a hold of what's called an ID3 metadata editor for the MP3 files, and it doesn't do anything other than read that metadata that's connected in the file, and we can post a link to something that's free that does that very, very well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it will actually show you exactly what is in that file, or in the case of a file that doesn't have the artwork embedded in it, it'll show you that it's not there. So,
okay.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And yeah, the reason I brought this question up, I was going to send some of these to a friend of mine and on a thumb drive, and I went to the MP3 area and I didn't see the artwork there, but I put it on the thumb drive and it still brought the artwork up, and that's what threw me off. I said, "Where the heck is it getting this stuff?" But I think I understand now.
Yeah, it's doing it behind the scenes, unknown to you.
So exactly, which is something I hate, because I'd send that thumb drive to him and he wouldn't get the artwork. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. When I send this out, I'll make sure I've got the artwork JPEG file in there with the folder. So even if he doesn't get it, he can use iTunes and load it in there.
Well, you can also use a product like MP3 Tag, which was what I was talking about, to make sure that the artwork is actually embedded in the file, and then you don't need to worry about what's linked to it.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll look into that. So link is, are you going to put that link out on your
website? Yeah. The only thing is it's going to be kind of fussy work if you're moving a lot of files, but at least know what's in them, what's not. You'd know how they're all packaged.
Yep. That's great.
Yep.
All right. I look forward to that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So we're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And then at 11 o'clock, Dr. Les will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. You probably saw this, Dennis, right? I think we talked about it. Cruise, which is a quote-unquote, with some serious quotes around the autonomous vehicle. They were forced off the road, basically. Cruise decided, you know what? We should probably stop doing this thing here. It's not going so well. Because basically, I think they were involved in an accident where a car was in an accident and then some pedestrian then was hit by the Cruise vehicle and dragged around. It was pretty bad. And then there's a story that just came out. So there's a autonomous cars in Phoenix too, called Waymo. And that's the Google, I think, equivalent of an autonomous car. And I was out there for a conference, and I told my wife I was going to take that car, an autonomous car, back to the airport. And she said, don't do it. We'll get divorced. So I didn't. And we were speculating in the hotel about, you know, if there's ever a need for a human to intervene in the autonomous car. Well, it turns out, in the case of Cruise, you really can't make this up, but Cruise was getting human assistance every 2.5 to 5 miles.
What?
Yep. Every 2.5 to 5 miles, those Cruise autonomous cars were being assisted by humans. Now, we were joking about this because clearly it wouldn't be Americans. It would be somebody in the third world. And if you've seen some of the videos on YouTube of how the folks in the third world drive, you don't want the third world assisting you.
Yeah.
So I can just picture some engineer getting an alert. Oh, we got to merge this because this guy's going to run into a curb here. I could just imagine what these guys are doing to our cars. So we'll put the link up here for you. But, you know, this is a quote unquote General Motors autonomous car company that lost around $1.9 billion. Ay.
Oh,
that's not good. That doesn't sound like a good market, a good venture. And it needs, but they knew that they needed a human every 2.5 to 5 miles. That's not autonomous car. I mean, what would the analogy be for that? How could you? That's almost like, you know, Elon with his autopilot autonomous right. car that needs help every 2.5 to 5 miles. I mean, I can't even think of an analogy for how ridiculous that sounds. So we'll put the link up there for you. And for again, it is coming, but we need a little smarter technology so the cars know where each other is on the network, on the roads. And once that happens, you won't need to worry about the humans because the cars, well, you still need to have somebody make sure you don't drive over a pothole or run into a emergency vehicle. But hopefully the emergency vehicles will have the same transponder that says, hey, I'm over here. Don't hit me. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. The company is still doing supervised driverless testing, but my goodness.
Whoa.
2.5 to 5 miles, you have human intervention.
Whew.
So I'll put a link up there for you. That's not an autonomous car. I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
All right. I can't even think of an analogy that shows how ridiculous that is. Let's go to Thomas in Middletown. What's going on, Thomas?
Yes, my phone. I went to the phone company where I bought my phone from. And I have too much. The guy told me my phone is not working right because it got too much junk on it. So he started racing. And I didn't know until the next day, all my pictures and stuff, all my stuff that I had in it is gone. Is there any way I can regain that back somehow?
Maybe.
Possibly.
What, you have an Android phone or an Apple phone?
Android.
Did you configure the offsite, the backup to the Google Cloud?
I'm not too free. I'm 83 years. I'm not too up to date on all these phones, but I'm just saying I don't have none of my pictures or none of that stuff. I was just wondering if I can get some of it back.
Nope, I understand the question. So basically, if you enabled the backup of the phone, the backup would have gone to the cloud, the Google Cloud. You may want to go back, maybe not to that store, not talk to that guy who deleted everything on you, but you want to ask.
He's not there anymore. He's gone.
Wow. No surprise.
That's what I said, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to make sure that's enabled so that your pictures and stuff get backed up to the cloud. That would be the only way that I know of recovering from that. Now, could there be a restoration on the physical phone, Dennis? Do you have any thoughts on that? There might be.
If the pictures were on an SD card that are plugged in, they could be recovered. You'd take the card out, put it in a PC,
right,
and then you'd run a tool like Recova to find the data on it.
It does sound a little more complicated than you probably want to deal with, Thomas, right?
But if it's the phone's own built-in memory, you're not going to have external access to that as a memory module. So that option would not be available.
So sadly, I tell you to go back to the store that did that to you and tell them the story and ask them, you know, is there any way to recover this data? And they'll be able to tell you pretty quickly whether or not you had the backup turned on or not.
So what's the story with this cloud? Back up on the cloud.
Yeah, you want to find out if you had the setting to back, that it's backed up to the cloud, and then they could restore it by bringing it back down to your phone, like resynchronizing it back to your phone, if it's turned on. Now, there's a little bit of a caveat here, guys. If backing up stuff to the cloud means it's out there in the cloud. It's a good thing in this case when somebody does something to you purposefully. But there might be data on that phone that you don't want sent to the cloud. Not that you're doing anything wrong. But the point is there might be data on there that you don't want sent to the cloud. So there's kind of a catch-22 in this. But that is really the only way to back up these phones these days that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, I'll just go back to the store and try that.
Yeah, sorry.
We're also going to post a link to an article that offers you different ways to approach it, including a few that we mentioned, plus a couple others that might be available, but it's all a question of might.
Right.
You know, this way to go might work. That one might work. You're just going to have to try them out.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Unless the store can help you.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. That's awful.
Yeah, that's bad.
All right. You got it, Thomas. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the key is have a backup. We've got Tony in Tolland who wants to chime in on this issue. Hey, Tony.
Well, I didn't realize I was chiming in on the same issue, but I had a cell phone that basically crapped out on me, and I was losing my ability to get onto my contact list and even to get onto my, where I could use the phone or send a text on it or anything. But if I fooled around with it long enough, it would allow me to make a call or find my contact list or whatever. Anyways, just before the thing totally quit on me, I put my my contact list, and I'm not sure whatever else information, on the cloud, okay?
Yeah.
I have a Gmail account that I don't use, basically. I don't even really know too much about it. And what happened is one of my nephews actually set this account up for me, and I remember saying to him at the time, why do I even need this stupid account? Right. I have email. Why? I don't want this account. But he said I needed it for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyways, so now I know what my email address is. I don't know what my password is.
That's okay.
Try to recover. And also, while my nephew was asking me questions when he was setting this account up, I may have told a few fibs on whatever questions they were asking me.
Oh, the security questions?
Oh.
Yeah. So I know I jotted some notes down on a little piece of scrap paper, which was my email address, and what I may have said for a couple of the questions.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I jotted all the answers down. And I definitely, for some reason, I don't know if I jotted the password down on a different piece of paper and lost it or whatever. But what I want to know is when I go to try to recover the password, what am I going to find myself up against?
Well, we can get you a procedure to do that. What you're going to need is probably the answers to those questions. And if you did write some of them down, then all the better for you. You may have at some point have given them a recovery email address, and they might send a code to that. And, that's something I can't really be sure of. But that's something that they set up. Sometimes when you create the account,
right,
they'll ask you, do you have a recovery address you want to use? And we can post a link to the process to do that.
Okay.
All right.
And it's normal, Tony, that you need a Gmail account for an Android phone.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, they go in lockstep.
Yeah.
Well, now I have another Android phone that my replacement Android phone, and I noticed that, like, I can't watch videos on YouTube and stuff. And is that because I don't have this phone registered?
No. You can watch. Do you have an account with YouTube, or is it just a standard YouTube that everybody uses?
It's a standard YouTube, which I was able to access on my old cell phone.
Yeah, no, they shouldn't have any issues with you. They shouldn't be stopping you for that.
Well, I don't know. They're asking me to log in. When I go to watch a video on YouTube.
But you can skip it. They just want to know it's Tony. They want to know what Tony's watching.
Okay.
So you can skip the login and still watch YouTube. Yeah,
I don't remember seeing an option of where I could click on something and skip the login. But I will check next time I go to do.
All right. We got to go, Tony. We'll give you that link on there for you as far as the process, and you'll hopefully be able to recover your configuration. And we are back, and that's Lettuce. Got a chance to check them out last evening for a little while.
Until you got chased out by the...
Yeah.
By the
ganja. Ay, ay, ay. Holy moly. Did that go over the air, Carolyn?
No.
Oh, you're welcome to say that. But yes, the devil's lettuce, as Carolyn just told me. just too much for me and my wife. But it was a great concert. They are a very tight band. I highly recommend having you check them out. And it was great that they came to Hartford. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And we have a few more minutes before we hit to the top of the hour. I have another IT story to tell you, personal IT story. I'd like to tell you that even IT folks, right, are impacted by these IT issues. Just so you don't think we're not. We are.
Constantly.
Yes, we're humans too. So I've got this property that's in Florida. You guys might know that I occasionally am not here on a Saturday, and that's because my wife says we need to go to that property every now and again. And so we do. And we lost power down there, and we got something called a smart lock. And I'll put that in quotes. And the smart lock is intended to allow for individual codes for folks that might use the property because we rent it. And power goes out. The lock loses connection to the Wi-Fi. Okay. Well, it turns out I'm able to have somebody go into the house, into the unit, and I told them to take the batteries out and put them back in because I couldn't see a single code that I had set on my app. So unfortunately, this is how the stupid cloud works. In order for the cloud to tell me what I've got on the smart lock, the smart lock has to be online. Now, why it wouldn't cache this information in the quote-unquote cloud is beyond me. Or why the app wouldn't cache it and say, hey, here's what you got. No, for some crazy reason, this has to be instantaneous, constant, up-to-the-second information that is always querying the device. So I have maybe 15 codes that are in that thing that it wouldn't show me. I didn't write them down, for crying out loud. I'm an IT guy. It's all in the app, I thought.
Right.
Erroneously.
Oh.
So, thankfully, I knew a few codes just in case. So you reset the batteries, put them back in, and I configured the lock for my new renter. Do you think it would have updated all the information that would have been in the lock for me when they reset it? I thought it would. It did.
It didn't.
It only puts in the new person. You know how I have that actually happen, Dennis?
Oh, how?
I have to be in person next to the lock and have it synchronize how?
Over Bluetooth. No.
Yes. That's the smart lock for
you. Oh, that's a really smart lock.
It's crazy. I cannot understand how these guys design these systems. So if you lose connectivity to your smart lock, it gets a lobotomy and will never remember itself until you are physically stroking it.
Oh,
I don't know what to tell you. This is where we are in 2023, folks. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Also, it's Veterans Day. You know, I think it's a reason Veterans Day is so close to voting day, because we vote for the people who are going to send these people into action.
True.
Keep that in mind when you're voting. I mean, I'm not sure we're doing very good at voting these days. So keep in mind it's how we're getting where we're getting. And thank a veteran for keeping us free. I mean, it's the ultimate sacrifice, so we can't thank you guys enough.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you guys next Saturday.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knix Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.